The Oregon Ducks are number one in the country, and we tried to predict what Dan Lanning would say in his first media availability since the number one ranking.
I feel like we did pretty good.
I didn't think he'd come this hard the other way. I thought he'd be like, yeah, okay, that's for the fans, but, that means nothing to us here. And he'd just kind of move on.
I think he Dan Lanning'd harder than we thought he would Dan Lanning.
Boy, yes, he did, but I love this.
You guys were ranked number one in the AP and the coaches poll. Just what does it mean for you as a leader of this program to bring it back to number one for the first time since 2012?
Who cares?
Now, if you only heard that and you didn't see it, Lanning said it with a smile. Like, it was just like, who cares? You know, doesn't want to talk. He is a guy that does not want to talk about that whatsoever.
It is undeniable, which means it can't be denied.
Having that kind of get into the locker room and all that stuff, I can tell you this much, that they're not talking about that. And any talk of that is going to get shot down in that facility and around the Oregon program.
I mean, that's not really surprising, is it?
No. And the weird thing about this team, and we were talking about this yesterday, with the good and the bad of kind of, you know, a cult locker room, right? The bad side was exactly what we heard from Miles Garrett and Jameis Winston. On the bad side of what kind of that cult following in a locker room, and had that mentality of we are all pulling for the same thing and everybody buys in or you get out of the way, right? There is good and bad that can come out of that. Obviously, the Miles Garrett, Jameis Winston quotes, bizarre, weird. I still can't wrap my head around what they said. But the good of having a mentality where everybody buys in, even in that the weird coach speak, you know, Ducks versus Ducks, it's us versus us every week, they actually believe it and they buy into it.
You have to. Like, you can't sit there and lie through your teeth over and over and over and over and over again and not believe it at some point in time. Because at some point in time, the lie becomes the truth.
Yep.
When you say it enough times, it just becomes... That's the whole point of, like, the negative talk versus positive talk. Like, don't talk down on yourself, because eventually your brain will think, you know, X, Y, or Z. It's like why you always hear about athletes finding a way to find a chip to motivate them. If you just say it enough, legitimately, it's so insane that our brains are this stupid sometimes.
Just a kid from Akron.
But yeah, but you just say it enough times, and you start to believe it. It's like Kirby Smart. Nobody believed in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody believed in you, huh, Kerb?
Yeah, only because they picked against us on college game day.
It's just like, dead, what the hell?
Yeah, that is, if you are a fan, that is what you want to hear. And that's kind of the way that they approach it, though. And that's the way all of the programs that are the upper echelon of college football approach it, is that those rankings, and this is what we talked about yesterday, those rankings are for the fans, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
It don't matter until the final 2 weeks of the season.
Nobody is reigning a week 9 national champion.
I mean, some people might. Some people might, but, you know.
Nobody is going to sit there and be like, you see, we got it. We're there. And the game against Illinois, it's going to be, this is the one I've been saying for a while. This one could get feisty. I mean, Oregon is now 21.5 point favorites. That thing opened at what, 28.5? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't it?
No, 25.
25?
Yeah, so Purdue was the 28.
Yeah, 20 and a half. Yeah, this is 25.
Yeah.
And this is at 21.5. Mm-hmm. Illinois is efficient in with their offense.
At 25, I'm taking Illinois to cover.
They create an obscene amount of turnovers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have created 13 turnovers. They have 8 interceptions this year. Okay.
Opportunistic.
Their offense has thrown a interception this year. Singular. They've got.
Good place to be.
Yeah.
Positive turnover differentials. Super useful in college football.
They've got Jakus, who's NFL Sunday type.
Yeah, 6'3", 280-pound pass rusher. It's twitchy, is super useful.
They also have a really good receiving core. I mean, is it as good as Ohio State's? No. No, it's not. But when you think of ways that they want to beat you, yes, they've got those ways. Luke Altmyer, their quarterback, again, he's only thrown one interception on the year.
Is he going to be 15-1 good to go?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
15-1 touchdown to interception ratio on the season. He's completing 66% of his passes.
Is that the most Brett Bielema quarterback you've ever heard of?
Luke Altmyer?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But this offense, though, it's got the Brett Bielema stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they have familiarity with what Oregon does offensively, too, because their offensive coordinator coached with Will Stein at Texas San Antonio together. Now, it does have more of a Bielema runabout aspect to it. But there's a lot of familiarity with these staffs and how they operate and how they approach and offensively. And those are important, right? I heard Lanning say yesterday, their tight ends coach also was on staff with him at Georgia together. And he's been a good friend of Lanning's for years. I think Lanning said he went to high school with his wife. Or what's his name? Robbie. Oh gosh, I already forgot his last name, but he went to high school with Lanning's wife. Mm-hmm. Like, they've known each other for years. There's familiarity with the staffs. Oregon has an obscene talent advantage, but you take this is a top 20 team that is 5-1, has lost one game this season. It's not like you're rolling out against a bunch of schlubs or 6-1. They're a good football team. They're coming into Autzen. Oregon has an extra day. They've been playing at a really high level. But if you start letting that, you know, as the Vancouver Ford text line points out, this is the Nick Saban rat poison.
Mm-hmm.
If you let the rat poison slip in, all of a sudden, these games get a lot tighter.
The coaches can't tell you suck, but they also can't congratulate you either.
Yep.
There's a happy medium that you have to live in, and that is the only way a successful program can be successful in their minds.
Yeah, look, there's this aspect of it, too. I just watched Purdue put up a goose egg on Friday night. Illinois seems solid, but I can't figure out how they gave up 49 points to that offense. They were up by 24 at halftime. They let their foot off the gas.
Yep.
100% let their foot off the gas. And the reason why you see 49 points get put up on the board, when a team lets their foot off the gas, and on top of that, you have a quarterback that you don't have a lot of tape on, a play caller in which you don't know his tendencies, what he wants to do. Like, Oregon had the advantage of watching a game and saying, okay,
this looks familiar.
We know what they want to do here, you know? And a team that had an aversion to throwing the football for an entire quarter in Purdue. That wasn't the team that played Illinois. Now, is that because they saw something that they wanted to exploit in Illinois? Yeah, Illinois, the talent advantage is in Oregon's favor on Saturday. But
again, Oregon should win.
It's a good team.
But again, if you're giving me 25, I'm taking the 25.
Yeah. 25 is a lot.
That's a
dude.
Lot. And that's that. Look, Illinois is not a great team, but they're a good team. And it's hard to beat a good team by 25, even if you are a top five team in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is.